You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three. Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. Becomes infectious.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining and complaining. Isn't that what a sports podcast is, after all? You know what I mean? At the end of the day. I'm your host, James Marcina, a.k.a. the Bowling Easy Baller, a.k.a. Jeff Jersey Shornacek, and this is episode 272. Woo! On today's episode, we're going to talk about just the masterpiece to end all masterpieces when it comes to the fine art of tanking. The New York Knicks lost to the Dallas Mavericks. People said it couldn't be done, but it was. We're going to dig into how it happened, but we're not going to like spend a ton of time, you know, being like the game, there was not enough transition, because that's stupid. We're going to talk about some basketball things that happened, but this is wild. This was Jeff Hornacek's masterpiece. I'm still kind of in shock that they were able to pull this one off. That third quarter was one for the ages. I'm happy. Happy. Jesus. I can't even, I'm overcome with emotion, joy. Hit it, Marv.
Yes!
You guys think, maybe you think I'm kidding, listening to that intro, but I found peace during this game. I found peace because I became 100% sure that Jeff Hornacek is in on the tank. I mean, and I feel stupid for not realizing it before. Look at what this guy has done since the All-Star break. This guy is a soldier. The Knicks have been the worst team in the league by far since then. Quibble with all kinds of things about Jeff Hornacek. All kinds of things. Minutes distribution, right? Like, why isn't Dotson getting more playing time? That's fair. Unimaginative offense, right? Why do we just run these simple pick and rolls that break it down into isolations for Beasley over and over again? That's fair. You know, why is Frank not getting enough minutes at point guard? That's fair. But Jeff Hornacek is not playing to win. It was so clear in this one, and it's been so clear for so long. He's dumb in other ways, but he's not playing to win. Burke not getting any time until the end of the third quarter, that didn't make any sense. I mean, we know that if he was playing to win, he'd be playing Jared Jack. He'd be playing Jared Jack like 35 minutes. He'd be playing Courtney Lee twice the amount of time that he's playing him. He'd be playing Lance Thomas 1,048 minutes a game. You know, what he is doing out there, you're still scratching your head. You got Hardaway playing 39 minutes. That's insane. Guy's going to re-injure his leg. Come on. Give me a break. I want Hardaway to get a lot of development. He's still young. He's an important piece of the future. That makes no sense. But, you know, he's not... Jeff is not playing to win. This game was an important loss for the Knicks. And he's been a good soldier. It's too bad we got to can him at the end of the season. Because we do. But he's in on this. He's in on this, and I appreciate that, and I respect that. I just want to say shouts to you. Shouts to you, Jeff, for that. The Knicks are now 24-44. Chicago is 23-43. They are in a statistical tie with Chicago. The Knicks have lost 8 in a row. They're 1-9 over their last 10. I mean, once Kristaps went down, what did you want? You wanted this to happen. You wanted losses to pile up, mount up. They've been piling up. They've been mounting up. I couldn't ask for anything more. than what I've seen. So, that being said, let's just talk about some players, some plays. Let's talk about some basketball that we watched. Let's forget the narrative of the game. The narrative was to lose. Jeff wanted to lose. Let's just talk about some stuff we saw. Let's talk about one of the point guards. Does that sound good to you? Let's talk about Emmanuel Mudiay. Got the start again. Still can't quite figure that out. Starting lineup in this one was Mudiay, Lee, Timmy, Lance, and Ennis. So literally the only young guy you're giving, you know, that quote-unquote valuable starter's role is Mudiay in this lineup. I suppose you could look at it thusly. He plays with the guys you don't care about developing. Like, it's all the older guys. And the guys you care about developing, you're going to play together, maybe? But then, shouldn't these guys, if you're developing them, get some time with Tim, at least, if you're serious about their development? Like, shouldn't Frank get a lot of time with Tim? They're two, you know, cogs in the machine going forward. You know, they're young core pieces you want to keep around. I don't know. That being said, you know, they took Frank out of the starting lineup. They put Courtney Lee back in. But this is Courtney Lee's first game back after a death in the family. So give the guy a start. It's fine. We'll see what happens going forward. I have a feeling Courtney Lee's going to start for the rest of the season if he's healthy. But let's see. Back to Moody. Yeah, he hit a couple of early threes. He looked okay in the beginning. Now, the thing about Mudiay is your shot is supposed to be able to survive all kinds of shit if you use the same motion consistently. Even the ugliest shot, if you're doing it over and over and over again, if it's repeatable, they say, like, we can work with that, right? Like a shooting coach. But damn, I do not like Moutier's form. I gotta say this, though. Caveat, because I talk a lot of shit about Mudiay. I am rooting for the guy. I'm rooting for you, Mudiay. I think it's possible you can get better. The thing is, on this podcast, I'm supposed to share my opinion, and my opinion is that if I had to bet on it, I'm not betting on you becoming a legit NBA starter. I don't think it's going to happen. I want you to be one. I think it is still possible. I'm not saying you have zero chance. This is all probability, you know? I just think you got to work your ass off because you got a long way to go. I just want to throw that caveat out there. I feel mean sometimes just like digging on Mudiay over and over again. It's not that I want him to fail. I just don't think it's going to happen. Well, I think it is going to happen. He's not going to succeed. That's what I think. Anyway, he had... You know, speaking of, he had one of these bad cross-court pass turnovers. He was basically in the corner, like behind the three-point line, right around there anyway. And he passed the opposite side of the court to like the high post. Basically, the ball had to go over 7,000 guys' heads. Just like bad idea genes, you know. And this is the kind of thing that we see consistently from Mudiay that he's got to get rid of. He had a two-on-one fast break with Lee in the third quarter, and he overpassed, you know. He passed it to Lee. Lee passed it back to him. The defender was shading over to Lee, and he tried to pass it back to Lee. And then the immortal Yogi Ferrell was like, all right, that's way too much passing. He got in the passing lane. He stole the ball. He then, you know, drove it in transition, canned a pull-up three in transition. And I just want to say that Yogi Ferrell looks like he paints on a goatee with lipstick. I just want to say that. Is that okay before we move on? Before we move on, I want to talk a lot about Frank. Talk some more about some point guards. But before we do that, I just want to talk to fantasy sports fans. Listen up, you guys. I bet you didn't know this. Your chances of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites. That's why draft is my favorite fantasy site. There's no more getting crushed by the pros, and it's not just me. No, it's not. I know you think it's just me alone on this app. Like, crushing myself over and over again. But other people play it, too. More than 1 million people have downloaded Draft. You can play Draft right now. You'll be done in under 5 minutes. You'll get paid out the next day. None of this fake offshore bullshit. You're getting paid out the next day. It's legit. Drafts fill up every second. You don't have to sit around for, like, two other guys who are playing it to start. Like, when is this going to start? It's going to start. You want to go play? You go on the draft. You start. You'll draft. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LONIX. That's right, playing a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LONIX, but it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're offering Locked On Knicks listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code LONIX. Let's talk about Frank Ntilikina. This was an interesting game for him because Jeff gave him minutes at the point guard. He didn't get a lot of minutes. Very strange point guard distribution. Like, he's just got a weird plan he's going with, I think, that he slightly adjusts, maybe. Like, it looked like this one was, okay, we're going to have Moutier and Frank. We're going to have Moutier and Frank be the point guards. No Burke tonight. Then Dallas went on their historic 19-0 run in the third quarter. More on that in a bit. And Jeff was like, I guess I got to bring in Burke and, like, maybe see if we can shore things up a little bit and not, you know, lose by 400 tonight, because that'll be bad. I don't want to draw any attention to this tank. But Burke and Frank got their minutes, Moutier and Frank got their minutes at point guard. Obviously, Moutier has been getting those, but it was new for Frank to be the lone point guard for his entire stint on the court. Oh my God, this fucking flu is just like morphing into, now I can't breathe out of my nose, so I apologize. I have no lung capacity. You hear me choking, and I can't breathe out of my nose, but I'm fighting through it. Because that's just what this is. It's the grind. Let's talk about Frank Ntilikina. He's also grinding. Take a look at his shooting. He missed his first three, then he made his second three. But wait, he didn't. They took away his second three upon review, which was just infuriating. The Knicks have got to lead the league in like these ticky-tack bullshit, getting adjusted three turning to a two during the quarter break. It's happened to them like over 7,000 times, at least. Who gives a shit? It's so stupid. This is part of my anti-replay crusade. How many actual twos have been called threes accidentally throughout the league? Probably tons, right? To like focus on it, my new, just let it go. Let it go between these crappy, like, you're looking at video in between quarters of a Dallas-New York Knicks game in 2018, in the heat of the tankathon. Like, what are you doing? Just let them keep playing, you reviewing video. Come on. Back to Frank. He missed his first left elbow jumper. That's something we talked about a lot. He likes those left elbow jumpers. And he's got to can this. He's got to can these jumpers so the defense plays him closer and he can drive. You know, that's not the end result you want, that left elbow jumper. When he's on the pick and roll, like, you're not like, oh man, I hope he can get a bevy of left elbow jumpers. But the defense is going to give him that until he proves that he can make them pay for it. You know what I mean? I'll repeat, a mid-range shot, not a great shot. Not what we want. But a good shooter is going to hit 1,000,000,000% of those shots if you give them the amount of space that Frank's being given right now. So Frank's got to make those shots, got to make the defense tighten up so the spacing opens up. Speaking of, they sagged way under him on a pick and roll with Kyle Quinn in the second quarter after this first missed jumper that I was talking about. And he made that long-range jumper. Then he pumped his fist because he's smart, because he knows it's important, and he knows he's got to hit that jumper. I might be reading too much into his body language, but I think he's smart. I think he knows what's going on. And then he missed 1,000,000,000 shots in the third quarter, but Hardaway was the only Nick who hit any shots in the third. He had let's talk about that third quarter now. I mean, before I lose my voice, because I am losing it. Whew! You guys are seeing the realness in real time. That third quarter, Knicks went ice cold. They were shooting about 1,000% from the field in the first half. Clyde was like, ooh, that's not good. They're only up by five or whatever it was. And then sure enough, they came back down to earth. Hornacek made no adjustments because he's in on the tank hard. Although he was doing that when they were trying to win too. So who knows? But then then Dallas went on a 19-0 run. So Hardaway has 4 points early, but then Dallas goes on a 19-0 run in the third quarter. Most allowed by the Knicks in a single run this season. And it made me proud to be a Knicks fan. That's just a hell of a tank. It looked like they were in danger of winning this one. You could have excused it. But they refused to go down without a fight. They're like, no, we can reverse this. And they did. And then Burke actually got them off the snide. And that's kind of when I realized what was happening here. Because Burke hadn't played at all. I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. That makes no sense. There's no way Jeff didn't play him at all because he's like, this is what's good for winning. Come on. Like, he's not that dumb. I don't think he's a good coach. He's not that dumb. But Burke comes in. He stops the bleeding a little bit. And he actually hit three threes in this one, I believe. So, you know, luckily he didn't do enough to completely derail the tank. Did enough to come in, make it semi-respectable, make sure Adam Silver doesn't come in and take away the Knicks draft pick. Couldn't you see that? The Knicks, like, finally figure out that you're supposed to tank, and then they tank so hard that they're the first team that gets a draft pick taken away from them by the league. It would be like 1997 playoffs all over again. People, this frozen envelope bullshit, the Knicks have been cursed by the league way more than anyone knows. But that's a topic for another day. Let's get back to Frank. Let's talk about his playmaking. We just talked about his shooting. In the first quarter, he tried to drive on a pick and roll, but he slipped on the drive. So I like the aggressiveness. Unfortunately, he hit a little sweat spot or something, and he slipped. He maintained his dribble, though, which was nice, and he passed back to Kyle O'Quinn, who canned the open jumper. He made the best out of a bad situation, at least. Didn't get a turnover, so that was interesting. He had a pick and roll with Beasley shortly thereafter. He hit Beasley with a very nifty pocket pass. Beasley converted the conventional three-point play. That was nice. He had a coast-to-coast layup attempt in the fourth quarter. Showed the Jets, but he missed it. However, there was all kinds of contact and no foul call. Clyde yelled about it, which doesn't necessarily make it true, but he was right in this instance. Frankie didn't get a lot of time in this one. Not sure exactly why. Maybe his defense was too strong. Jeff was worried about him shutting down, you know, the Mavs. And he showed some aggressiveness, so that was good. Let's talk about his defense, his hallmark. He iced a pick and roll with Dirk in the game, sending Barea at B's. I'm not sure that's the right play there, but that's what he decided to do. And then he tried to front Dirk, so he couldn't get the pass back from Barea, and he got called for a foul. And that was just a funny visual, which I enjoyed. I'm not sure he fouled Dirk, but Dirk looked annoyed. And Dirk's Dirk and Frank's Frank, so the refs gave it to him. And then, also, he fouled Warnie hard in the fourth. Warnie's a big guy. Frank has shown that he's not afraid to go after the big guns. So that was nice to see again. And I just have to say, before we go forward, I'm Warnie. So Warnie, 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 Warnie. Let's talk about Tim. Tim started off aggressive. He had a confident demeanor. He wanted the ball. He wanted to shoot. And he stayed aggressive throughout. Like I said, he was the only Knick who scored in the third quarter. But he did some of his... Well, he still needs to shore up his mental game on defense a little bit. And we saw an example of this. He packed into the paint for some reason and left Barnes wide open for a three when he wasn't needed. It was just one isolated play. It didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. But this is one of these mental mistakes that we know he can correct. He hasn't had a ton of them, but you do still see them from time to time. That was one of them. And he had the highlight of the game, Tim. Speaking of Tim, while we're talking about him. A half-court alley-oop to Michael Beasley. An excellent pass. So, way to go, Tim. You did nice in this otherwise horrifying game, some might say. I want to talk about a couple of small things that got under my skin. I want to talk about a couple of unexpected delights. But first, just want to remind you guys that you listen to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, head on over to iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Once again, that's Locked On Knicks. Let's talk about little bullshit that temporarily got under my skin. The first was Kyle O'Quinn getting called for defensive 3 seconds early in the game. I went back, I rewound, I counted. He was in there for literally 4 seconds. I mean, come on. What are you, did you get a notice from the league? Gotta watch Kyle O'Quinn on those 3 seconds. Get out of here with that. Something else that annoyed me, Doug McDermott is shooting 54% from three with the Mavericks. I think he led the league and missed wide open threes for the Knicks. Then again, he was one of the prime beneficiaries of Jeff Hornacek's wacky, unpredictable rotation roadshow. He would get these DMPs sprinkled amongst these 30-minute games. He would help them win a game and then not play for 2 weeks. So I can't really blame him. But something about Doug gets under your skin a little bit, doesn't he? If he's not on your team, I don't know what it is. I'm not going to spend too much time on it because once in a go, he's like, good to see you, Doug. Unexpected delights. Well, there was one in this one. No, there were a couple. One unexpected delight was Kyle O'Quinn. At the end of the first quarter, the time was up. The buzzer sounded. And he's like, all right, I'm going to shoot it full court. But he had this like laser beam heave that was completely parallel with the court, 1,000 miles an hour. And it almost went in. It would have been wild, but it was not wild. But it delighted me. You got to look for unexpected delights when you're tanking as hard as the Knicks are tanking. Another unexpected delight is Troy Williams. I haven't mentioned this even though it's been official for a couple days. Troy Williams has been signed now through the end of this season. You can only sign two 10-day contracts, and then the team's got to shit or get off the pot and make a decision about what they want to do with you. So they said, we like Troy Williams. We're going to sign you. It's partially guaranteed for next year. So the Knicks have the option to keep him around next year if they want. A great small move. I really like Troy Williams. It's impossible to see exactly what's up with him in these bizarre circumstances in which he is playing. This is not normal basketball the Knicks are playing right now. But he's got tremendous athleticism, and he seems to play within himself. It's a potent combination. Good job, Perry. Good job, Troy. Welcome aboard. I hope you signed on the tiny table. He had a steal in the second quarter. He picked off a lazy Barea bounce pass at the top of the arc. Frank corralled the loose ball. He passed it up to Troy, who's streaking down the court. He got the heavily contested, partially blocked layup to fall. It looked goaltended to me. And if you're going to call every bullshit little thing, why not this, refs? But whatever, the ball went in. He had a ferocious tip slam in the second quarter. He made Carlisle call a timeout. Clyde called him vivacious, effervescent, and hellbent after that dunk. So you know it was a good one. Anytime you make the opposing coach call a timeout, you've done your job as a dunker. He has a weird-looking mid-range shot. I don't know what to think about it, especially on one shot in the second quarter. He was a little off-balance, legs akimbo. It might have just been that shot, but I got my eyes on you, Troy. You and me, let's work on that shot in the offseason. Michael Beasley, that lovable rascal. He almost threw the biggest wrench of all in Jeff Hornacek's plans. He made his first 7 shots and then 10 of his first 11. It was funny, he actually, he had made his first 7 shots and he got jinxed out of his 8th shot when Kenny and Clyde were talking about the Knicks record for shots made without a miss in a single game. And then right when they were talking about it, he missed his first shot. Then he hit his 8th, though, and luckily he disappeared in the third quarter with everyone else. So thank you, Beasley, for that. I appreciate that. You almost got us in this one. Dotson got some burn. He had a corner 3 off a lot of nice ball movement from the Knicks as a team. There were something like 7 to 8 passes that led to it, so that was good to see. He had a second 3 from the top of the arc a few minutes later. We know he's got that stroke. I want to see him use that stroke, and he used it in this one. All right, I think that's it for us. It got a little rambly. This one was kind of, instant reaction, raw and cut from the gut, straight from the heart. But I feel like we're in good hands for the rest of this season. Jeff can't do that much damage to these players' development over the next couple weeks. He'll do stupid stuff. He'll do stuff that'll make you want to pull your hair out. But he's not going to put us in a position to succeed. And that's what you want right now. You want the Knicks to lose every single game. I never thought I'd be here, but it's what you got to do. What are they going to do, So he's helping them lose. They fire him at the end of the season because he deserves to be fired, no matter what a good tank soldier he's being right now. And, you live to fight another day. All right, let's wrap this thing up. Thanks for listening, guys. If you got a moment, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Tell your friends about Locked On Knicks if you haven't already. Follow us on Twitter at... you guessed it, Locked On Knicks. Also, NBA Injury Report. Be chill to each other and join us tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Knicks. Peace!